we want to talk about what has become a very disturbing phenomenon in the immigration story, and that is the increasing number of children who are making the dangerous journey to the U.S. without a parent or a guardian. At the U.S.-Mexico border, the Border Patrol is being overwhelmed by thousands of children apprehended during these crossings. Joining us now to tell us more is Dallas Morning News staff writer Diane Solis, who's been reporting on this. Welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
You reported that U.S. government officials have projected that the number of unaccompanied minors apprehended after crossing the border this fiscal year will hit 70,000, and that's nearly nine times more than the 8,000 apprehended in 2008. What's behind this? Do we know?
Well, it's been building for some time, and I've been in Dallas courtrooms watching it, and then in outside Mexico City as well. And what young people and adults have told me, it's crime and gang violence and gang recruitment and poverty. And I heard that over and over again.
Are parents who are in the U.S. by themselves sending for these children, or are these children making the decision to come on their own?
In the case of the two Honduran teens that we focused on in our Sunday story, it was the teens themselves that decided to go. They were afraid of dying, basically. They hated the gang recruitment. And in one case, the teenager's mother had died of cancer. And that's when he decided to set off in search of his father, a man in the Dallas area, whom he hadn't seen for 14 years, but whom he had a relationship with by phone.
Hmm. So how do we treat these children? And does how we treat them vary depending on where they're from? For example, do we treat the Central American kids, like kids from Honduras and El Salvador, do we treat them differently than we treat kids from Mexico? And do we treat them differently depending on what gender they are, for example?
We definitely treat the Mexicans differently, and in the numbers that you'll see, sometimes you won't see the Mexicans included. Mexico, because it is contiguous to the U.S., is part of a legal situation in which the children or the juveniles are simply sent back. The Central Americans are not, and the Central Americans who are apprehended and are unaccompanied and juvenile, they're taken into shelters, supposedly within 72 hours. A White House official recognized yesterday that they're sometimes now, because of the surge, they can't do it that quickly.
Hmm. This has obviously caught the attention of policymakers at the very highest levels. I mean, the president last week asked for an additional $1.4 billion to manage this influx, calling it an urgent humanitarian situation. I mean, this really recounts some of the refugee situations that we've reported on in other parts of the world. You know, we only have about a minute left. It's a very complex issue, you know, obviously. But what are officials here talking about as a long-term strategy to address this?
I don't think that they are talking about a long-term strategy. I think they're trying to deal with the immediate needs of the children and needs for shelters and needs for a legal representative in the courtrooms. The children and juveniles and any immigrant who's here unlawfully can, of course, hire an attorney. Or find a low-cost attorney. And there's an effort around the country to get attorneys to work with the juveniles pro bono.
Hmm. So is that
the courts are overwhelmed.
That's what I was going to ask you, Diane, a final question to you. What's the next focus of your reporting on this? What are some of the other things we should be thinking about as the story unfolds?
We're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the courtrooms, and we're going to look at the trauma that the juveniles have been through in this hellish journey up from Mexico, where they're viewed as human loot for gangs and the big cartel that everyone knows here as the Zetas.
Hmm. Diane Solis is a staff writer for the Dallas Morning News, and she was kind enough to join us from Dallas. Diane Solis, thank you so much for reporting on this, and thank you for keeping us up to date.
Thank you.